Good morning, Professor.
Good morning.
Now, when you think of the issues contributing to problem gambling, we usually think about the machines themselves, but how much does the environment of a gaming room contribute to the addictiveness of pokie machines?
Well, you know, the environment, particularly the you know, pubs, clubs, casinos, are really an important part of the overall experience. So we find that people often go there because they're lonely, and it's a place where all you have to do to be accepted is to gamble. And so that's actually an important part of the experience. When gambling sort of took off online, and people can gamble legally online offshore, you can't offer it to Australian consumers, but it's possible for people to play, and people do play, there was this concern that it would be a huge takeover of the industry. And what we have found is it really hasn't been that, because the experience of actually being in the venue and interacting with venue staff in particular, but also other patrons, is a valuable part of the experience.
Yeah, right. So for someone who works in the hospitality industry, this could be seen as staff simply doing their job. But how much of the responsibility falls on the venues and their staff to reduce the problem gambling?
Yeah, look, an enormous amount should fall on the industry to deal with gambling problems. I think there's a real disconnect, obvious, that's structural and is created by the fact that problem gambling and problem gamblers underpin a significant portion of gambling revenue in the venues. And so it's very hard to argue to get people to go against their own financial interests or to get businesses to go against their own financial interests. And even though they do have, even under legislation, a host responsibility obligation, undertaking that obligation or the codification of that obligation is actually rather weak. And so what you have to do is ill-defined, and therefore people end up doing very little or nothing.
Yeah, it's quite worrying because, like, I'm sure there's lots of staff who will see a few problem gamblers and want to go up to them and say, hey, maybe it's time to go home kind of thing, but they might get fired from their job if that happens, if they do that.
Yeah, look, I would hope that wouldn't be the case. What we often find is people who have gambling problems will go into treatment or go into Gamblers Anonymous and will say things like, they knew I had a problem, they said nothing, and they'll actually be quite angry about it. On the other side, you've got the venue staff who feel often that and this is sometimes true, is that they'll get a bad reaction if they go to somebody and have a conversation with them. What we generally find is that people with problems want to have that conversation. Now, that conversation doesn't have to start with, and probably shouldn't start with, do you have a problem, but rather, oh, I see upset today. Is there anything that we can talk about? Maybe have a cup of coffee with them and have a conversation with them. But just showing that kind of caring is often what people with gambling problems want to see. And in most cases, they'll be quite receptive to that. In some cases, they'll tell the person to buzz off. But I think I think that people should be comfortable with the fact that people with problems might refuse help, and be able to deal with that as part of their job, as part of something that they need to do.
Yeah, there's definitely many other ways to combat getting people to get out of their habits. So some serious allegations were made last week concerning how supermarket giant Woolworths has been compiling personal information about regular users' drinking and gambling habits and then distributing them within venues. Is this claim substantiated?
Well, we'll have to see what the specific allegations are. From what I understand, they were compiling information and sharing information on their customer service information and potentially private information about particular clients, across Google Docs and across their network of several hotels. The kind of information that they were gathering might be, at least some of it, and maybe even a majority of it, might be considered to be normal information that you would want to know about your customers in order to provide a good customer experience. There are exceptions to that, though, where I guess the information might have been too personal, like knowledge of the person's footy team, and why would you need to share that kind of information across the network other than to potentially learn lessons about how to exploit people who may be spending too much on the gaming machines. The really hard part is where do you cross the line from providing good customer service and encouraging people to take part in a legal activity that is an entertainment product like any other entertainment product by degrees, and taking people who are potentially vulnerable and making them spend more than they really should, and therefore put themselves at unreasonable risk. And I think that where that line is the real problem. And so you could get everybody to not share that information across the network of whatever 400 odd hotels. But does that make any real functional difference in terms of if they're doing this hotel by hotel? It's probably still a problem in terms of not being host responsible to not have a program of being able to identify and intervene with people who you think potentially might have a problem, rather than people who are just spending what they want to spend. And probably the argument that I've heard a lot by hoteliers and people in that industry is, well, how am I to know, and why am I, why am I? Who am I to say that they should be spending this amount or that amount? But there certainly are indications, visible indications, that of people having problems, and training that sometimes does and certainly can take place, where they can identify customers who might be having problems, and not targeting them to spend more, but in fact targeting them to spend less.
Yeah, that line in the sand definitely, I don't think, has been drawn yet. But would you say the practice is common in the industry?
Well, look, it's really hard to know in terms of sharing information across the network. That's hard to know. In terms of knowing a lot about your customers, definitely, and having these clients that are very important to the venue, that is your high spending clients, is something that I've heard personally from venue operators as something that they're very protective of. So that a small club might have five or so high spending clients that they consider to be very important to their business. Now, my knowledge in the gambling field is that there's a very high likelihood that most, if not all, of those people have gambling problems. And so they're seeing it from a different standpoint. They're seeing them as highly valuable customers. I'm seeing them as people who are likely to be problem gamblers and likely to be people that they shouldn't be hanging on to and trying to get to spend more.
Right. It's seen in more of an economic way than a human way, I guess.
That's right. Although they're very human as well. So, within the industry, obviously there's most people who work in that industry don't want to have problem gamblers underpinning part of their business. But there's sort of when there's an economic incentive, there's a sort of willful blindness that happens. People, it's hard to get, again, I go back to my statement, which is it's hard to get people to work against their own financial best interests, and they convince themselves that they're doing the right thing, when in fact what they're doing is potentially harming those few people. And it's important to say that there are a lot of people who get recreational benefits, genuine recreational benefits out of gambling. And so it's just this subpopulation of people who are harmed by the product, and being able to understand who those are and take responsible steps to help them understand and control their expenditures is something that is a host responsibility that needs to be undertaken. But we need to have a functional way of enforcing that, so that or some economic consequence for enforcing that allows that to be taken more seriously by the industry.
For sure. I guess finally, as a final question, do you think that it's time for the New South Wales government to put tighter restrictions on gaming rooms in venues? And if so, what kind of restrictions would they be?
Yeah, I would definitely think that it's time nationally to have better restrictions. So one example of that might be what they do in New Zealand. So in New Zealand, it is the responsibility of the venues themselves to make sure that they don't encourage people who they have a reasonable reason to believe have gambling problems don't gamble at their venues. That's their responsibility. And in fact, a casino, I think it was in Christchurch, got shut down for several days as punishment for the fact that they had a customer that they had a reasonable reason to believe had gambling problems, and who they allowed to continue to gamble within their venue despite that fact. And that resulted in a punishment that cost them, as you can imagine, it was a large venue, and being shut down for 3 days amounts to a lot of money for them. And so that kind of economic incentive, I think, is something that needs to be put in there. Not because they're bad people, not because the people in the industry are bad people. I've met many of them, and most of them want to do the right thing, but what we have to do is align legislation with the financial incentives that make sure that that is taken to heart, and that they act in a way that that ensures host responsibility.
Right, it's gonna be really interesting to see how, I guess, all of this escalates into legislation, or if it doesn't. Thank you so much for talking to us this morning.